Okay, welcome back, everybody, to our learning at Sha'arei. It is June the 21st. We are rapidly approaching, actually, the end of Sivan, because Shabbos and Sunday, of course, are Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, the months when we usher in our mourning, difficult months. You know, the summer, it's such the antithesis of the attitude of the Umos HaOlam, such a free time, such a fun time, such a careless time, and yeah, we have the tremendous all of mourning Churban Beis HaMikdash Dafka during this time. So even though, yes, it is Rosh Chodesh, time for renewal. Chodesh, Chadash, Chidush, all the same shows. Chodesh, month. Chadash, new. Chidush, renewal. It's an opportunity for renewal. It's a very difficult time for us as we begin to usher in the 3 weeks, Be'ezras Hashem. So we begin to usher in the 3 weeks, Rachmana Litzlan. We are learning Lidui Nishmas as well as Zeicher Nishmas, Miriam Fron, Miriam Baschai, Yitzchak, Allah HaHasham, and Hashem Meshed, have a continuous aliyah in the merit of our Torah. So we are on page 59. Right? So last time our shir really focused on, I'll tell you when I need this. Last time our shir really, thank you, our shir really focused on Pirkei Avos. We looked at Perek Gimel, Mishnah Aleph, Chapter 3, Mishnah 1, on knowing where you came from, where you are going to, and before whom you are about to give an accounting in the eternal world. Right, so we'll just start from the bottom of page 59. We won't do the whole paragraph in depth, but we'll start from the section called Constant Contemplation Without Distraction. Today's world, it's very hard not to be distracted. Any fact one is internalizing, such as the fact that there is a creator. For those who are just joining us, I really call this class a class on Amuna. This class is living with Amuna, despite the title of the book, which is Building a Sanctuary in the Heart of Avi Mishkan Evna. It's a whole avoda on attaining, acquiring, and living with Amuna. So any fact you are internalizing, such as the fact that there is a creator, must be remembered all day. I just saw something beautiful. The Kliyaka brings down. We know that there are two parts to Torah. There's one Torah with different aspects or functions of interaction. There's been Adam HaMakom, which is interaction between us and Hashem, us and God, and there's been Adam HaChavero, interaction between us and fellow men. So Kliyakar says something so beautiful in V'yahavta L'Re'acha Kamocha. He says the foundation of Bein Adam LaMakom, interaction between me and God, is Anochi Hashem Akecha. It's a mitzvah Muna. To know that there is a God, the first of the Ten Commandments, that is the foundation of interaction between me and God. And that is the foundation of interaction. The foundational mitzvah Bein Adam Mechaveri says that's V'ahavta L'Re'acha Kamocha. Love your fellow as you love yourself, says the Kliyakar, is the foundation of half of the entire Torah. So whereas one part of Torah is resting upon I am your God who took you out of Egypt, the next part of Torah rests upon the entire foundation of love your fellow as you love yourself. Very profound. You have to remember these facts all day. Every half hour you should stop for a few seconds. You should say to yourself, I was created. There's one who created me. I was created. There's one who created me. More than that is not necessary. I don't know if we stop every half hour, but should it certainly be a running conversation with Hashem. You know what just happened to me today? I was doing something and I couldn't remember somebody's name. I was in Gourmet Glatt.
I was going to guess, Gourmet Glatt or Costco.
That's where I am if I'm not in class. Okay. So I was in Gourmet Glatt and I couldn't remember somebody's name. I was trying for a few minutes. It was really bothering me that I couldn't remember the person's name. And finally I said, Hashem, please help me remember the person's name. I'm not lying. I was standing by the corn, peeling off the husks. You know, they've got garbage, so you don't have to bring the cob home and make a big mess in your kitchen. And I said, Hashem, please help me. And it popped right into my head. I'm not lying. At the moment that I said, I was trying for a cob. I wouldn't say 10 minutes I'm standing by the corn, but it was for a few minutes that I couldn't remember. It bothered me so much. Finally, when I said, Hashem, please help me remember the person's name, I remember the person's name. You have to remember. So even if it's not specific half hour, remember when my son was learning how to hear and speak, my son who hears the two cochlear implants, that is a whole amelus, way beyond the scope of this class. But I remember the therapist told me, in the beginning I was this naive mother who didn't know what I was doing. I thought, oh, I have to do a half hour of therapy homework a day. I have to come home and play with his toys and for half hour that's therapy. And one of his therapists said to me, before he was even implanted, she said to me, Michal, no. She said, life is therapy. Not that you do it a half an hour a day and now you are potter for the day, exempt for the day, and then tomorrow's a new day. Your whole life is one running exercise in teaching this child how to hear and speak. A man is really, could you imagine, he is 11 and a half. I think he was like 6 months old, 11 years ago, and it made such a profound impact. It was before I was teaching, it was before I was in this line of work. I don't know what else to call it. It was before I was who I am, but it made such a strong impression on me, and we can relate that so much to living with Amuna. It's not like, oh, I have a day to remember Amuna, and then I go and I do other things for my whole day. It's life is therapy. What does it mean? Your whole life, you're working on talking to the Ribbono Shel Olam, being with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Is it dafka every half hour? You should take out a piece of paper. Then it becomes like a homework exercise. So I'm not sure. I think more what the Mechaber, the author, really means is that you should be having a running conversation of the awareness that God is in your mind all the time and in your life all the time. So also, such a shkacha practice. I parked the car, so I checked my phone right before I came in, of course. So my father-in-law sent me this little email, and it was unbelievable that here I am coming into this class, and this is what the email says. It's quoted from Rav Kook. Okay, I sent it to Esther because my phone's on a recorder. Thank you. So Rav Kook says, Yesh ben chorin sharucho ruach shel eved. You have a free person whose spirit is the spirit of a slave. So you have a free person who's enslaved. It's better in Lashon HaKodesh, but we'll translate everything. Yesh ben chorin sharucho ruach shel eved. You have a free man whose spirit is the spirit of an eved, a servant, a slave. Yesh eved. And you can have a servant sharucho melea chebus. His ruach, his spirit is full of freedom. Hane'eman la'atzmioto. What does la'atzmioto mean? Etzem is like the essence, who is truthful.
True to himself.
Okay, so he who is true to himself. But it's not really true to yourself. It's if you're true to Ribbono Shel Olam. Korach was true to Korach. Korach was true to himself.
Can you read it again?
Essence, like the etzem of the matter.
Read it again.
Etzem, the etzem of a matter is like the essence of a matter, maybe. I don't know. We can only be true to ourselves. That's a mistake. Korach, in this expression, was true to Korach. Haneman la'atzmioto, he who is faithful to the etzem, the essence of the matter, ben chorinu, he is a free person. Umi shakol chayav heim rak b'masha tov v'yafa b'enei acherim, and someone who lives his whole life by what is good and pleasant in the eyes of others, who eved. He is a slave. So even one can be a ben chorin, a free person, physically free, and he can be enslaved. And someone can be a slave, Aved Hashem, and he is a true ben chorin. It depends how we classify our goals in life, so striving our path. Yes?
I understand the statement now. It's true to himself, which means he's not going to copy whatever the other person does.
Uh-huh. Okay.
He is going to live a life where he knows what's right.
Based on the end of the saying.
And he's going to do what's right. And that's what makes him free. Because he's doing what's right.
He's not trying to do what's told v'yafa be'enei achirim. He's not trying to do what's good in the eyes of somebody else. Okay, very nice.
That's why neighbors were so important. Korach, who was Korach's neighbors?
Reuven.
Right. So that was the whole thing. You have to be... That's why his wife knew right away, uh-oh, we're in trouble. So she was a good wife, but what I'm saying
who,
is...
Who, Om Ben Pal's wife?
Right. So...
She's an awesome lady.
So you have to be very careful. You have to really know who you work on yourself first, know who you are, and then... You know your essence.
Right, you're right. Latzmiuto is the same root as Atzmo. So you said work on yourself first. That's what we've said many times. The foundation of Vos Hashem has been Adam La'atzmo. Work on yourself, then you can branch out. Okay, very nice. Very good. Okay, anything else? Thank you. This must be the unifying thought that will connect the entire day. So again, I don't think it means take out a piece of paper from your pocket, even though that's what he says much more in the beginning of the book. And, you know, every half hour, look at that piece of paper that says I was created. Rather, it means the entire day should be a foundation, a basis. If you're peeling the corn and you can't miss it. It was mamish unbelievable. It made such an impression on me. I said, Hashem, please help me remember. I mamish remembered. It's very powerful. Gradually, your mind will become accustomed to thinking about it and feeling it. This is how we begin to instill the concept, again, the concept of Amunah, the concept of faith in the Borei Olam. Anochi Hashem on the one hand, I am God on the other hand, V'ahav L'Reicha Kamocha, love your fellows, you love yourself. Those are the two yesods of Torah, and from that, everything else branches out. That is to say, by the way, I never saw it before on V'ahav L'Reicha Kamocha. It's very powerful. He's saying that it's not just one of the 613 mitzvos, it is the foundation of half of the Torah, of the entire Bin Adam Lechaver. The foundation is to love somebody else as you love yourself, which how apropos for the month of Tammuz. because the first place of mikdash was destroyed because of the three agval yavros, the cardinal sins, we must not transgress adultery, idolatry, and bloodshed. But the second base of mikdash, Lechus Yoma, is destroyed because of baseless hatred. So what an appropriate reminder as we enter the month of Tammuz. That is to say, besides the time devoted to contemplation for clarifying the matter, the goal is for the mind to be constantly involved. It cannot be laced off page 60. It cannot be an ordinary piece of information that one is to learn. Rather, it must be a living truth. There is a God. I was created. He put me here. I'm fulfilling his tafkid. This is where he wants me to be. At this exact moment, tafkid, I'm fulfilling my task of what he wants from me. There are two ways for an idea to be alive. One kind of person needs to periodically be reminded of the idea, and then he lives with it. Otherwise, he's sleeping. So that's the first type of person. Sometimes he's reminded. When he's reminded, he lives with it. Otherwise, he's really sleeping. Interesting, because last week we spoke about sleeping, or two weeks ago. Another kind of person is always alert. He walks around all day with the awareness of what he wants to attain. So when we think of the Gedolim, the great ones in Torah, that's really how they live, all day with an awareness of who they are, where they came from, and what they want to attain. Someone came to Rav Moshe Tversky, Shem Yukom Damo, may God avenge his blood, who was killed in the Harnof massacre. Rav Tversky exerted himself more than usual during the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, during the 10 days of repentance. He exerted himself even more than usual. And for him, even more than usual was way above, because his regular exertion was more above everybody else. Difficult, though, that is to imagine, it was unmistakable. He would talk a lot about the incredible power of value inherent in those 10 days of repentance. How every moment is so precious. One day, during the 10 days of repentance, during the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, I had to discuss something with him. This is a Talmud relating the story. I approached him during Bein HaSedarim, when he was learning in the Nevardak Beis Medrash. So he went over to Rebbe, who was learning in the certain Beis Medrash. Does Rebbe have a minute? I said. And his response was classic Rav Tversky. A Yid does not have a minute during the Aseret Yemei Teshuva. A Jew really does not have any spare time, not even a minute, during the 10 days of repentance. But if you need to make the time, you make the time. Because for a Talmud, Rav Tversky strongly felt that you had to make the time, and so he did. But such an awareness of who we are serving and where we are, that I really don't have any spare time during this auspicious time of the 10 days of repentance. One more vignette, please, from Rav Tversky. He once explained, he was talking about the special Kedusha of Shabbos. Shabbos is an entirely different reality from the rest of the week. From beginning to end, from the most minuscule detail in our world, going all the way up through the heavenly spheres until the throne of glory, everything is totally different on Shabbos. Whether one is aware of it or not, on Shabbos you're in a totally different realm. This is reflected in the fact that a person looks different on Shabbos from his weekday appearance. And he quotes, Eino dome mara panav, your face does not look the same. But what do you mean you don't look the same? Of course you look the same. No. There's an obligation to wear Shabbos clothing. Your face looks different. That's the externality. As far as his inner essence, he has a neshama yisera, an extra soul, so to speak. And therefore on Shabbos you enter into an entirely different state of being. The awareness that you are totally before God. You want to say something?
I had a conversation about the differences between Shabbos and the rest of the week. I had this conversation with a friend of mine, how I could feel the change as soon as Shabbos ended. And she said, that's the energy leaving.
What did she say?
She said, that's the Shabbos energy leaving, that you had a high energy level, and the spirituality was very high, and then it plummeted right after.
But could she relate to what you were saying? Did she understand what
you were
saying?
I think she understood what I was saying, because I'm not a perfect observer, but it was at a certain level that was very different from the rest of the week, and then it was going down.
You mean after Shabbos?
Yeah, after.
So it's living with this awareness all the time that we're before Hashem, feeling the Kedusha before Hashem. It's interesting what Nancy just said, because why do we smell Besam and Motzi Shabbos?
To give us strength, to give us, you know, wake us up.
Okay.
Otherwise we're going to end up, you know.
Is it part of the Torah? The summon? No. To revive us as the Neshami Seiras leaving.
Because what?
To revive us as the Neshami Seiras.
Okay, to revive this extra soul that's leaving. When this extra soul, what we're calling the Neshama Yesera, this extra soul that you get from the next world, leaves you after Shabbos, so it's exactly what you said, and so you feel this down. This downward spiral. So why Besamim? So B'nai Yisachar explains something unbelievable. It's such a beautiful var. If you go back to the first sin, the sense of smell was not involved. The sense of smell is the closest connection to being in the Garden of Eden, which is where your extra soul, this Neshama Yisera, comes from. Vateri ha'isha ki tov ha'etz lama'achal. The woman saw the fruit was good for eating. She used her eyes, she used her mouth, never mind that she spoke to the Nachash. And it's nice to see, and it's nice to contemplate. She takes it. She uses her sense of hearing to speak to the Nachash. She uses her sense of sight to see the fruit. She uses her mouth to talk to Nachash and eat. She takes the fruit, and she touches it. The only sense of smell that was not involved was the sense of smell. The only sense that I say, what I say? The only sense that was not involved was the smell. And therefore, we use the besamim dafka to revive the neshama yesera. When we feel that extra soul leaving, we remind ourselves that we can remain connected in a very strong way through the besamim. Yes?
I was going to say, that's how Hashem put neshama into us. He blew it through our nose.
That's right. That's exactly
so
right.
So I think that's why the sense of smell is very special.
That's exactly right.
Because that's where how the neshama got into us.
Very nice. Afar min adam vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim. That Hashem Elokim took dust from the ground and then he blew into his nostrils the soul life. So it's this very, very pure sense, and we have to very careful with it, and we have to revive ourselves through it. It's interesting when you think about it. I never thought of this before, but that's really the sense that it's... Listen, it's hard to sin with that sense. Like your eyes, you should not spy after your eyes and your heart. Your eyes, your touch, nothing to talk about. Your eyes, your mouth... Lashon Hara, the Ramban says, Lashon Hara is equal to Shvichus Damim, murder is equal to slander. What are the senses? Touch, taste, mouth, eyes, ears. That's very interesting. If Adam and Chava did not sin with the sense of smell, think about what I'm saying. What averus, what prohibitions are really involved in the sense of smell? What?
Then
it remains.
The Nachash came into us, right? And if they didn't with their noses, maybe it's there. I don't think there are any
chatam
with your nose.
That's what I'm saying. So remain so pure.
Yeah. So
when you smell a garden, like a beautiful garden, it really moves you.
When you hear music, it can move you. When you see a beautiful sight, it can move you. But you're not doing any averas with your nose. But the nachash entered us when we did the avera. But when Adam and Chava did the avera, but all the other senses
became tainted,
right,
and are gateways to sin. But really, I'm trying to think, I literally never thought of this before, as many times I told Avard over since I learned it, but what sin comes about specifically through the nose?
It's going to be our homework.
What?
It's going to be our homework.
It's a very interesting food for thought, yeah? No. Food for thought, pun is intended.
Yeah.
We're talking about the Eitz HaDaas, yeah.
Hana'a
from Basar V'chalav. There are three times lo tzivasha gedi v'chevima. You shall not cook a lamb kid in its mother's milk. You're not allowed to cook it. You're not allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to have pleasure from it. Typically, we mean pleasure. You're not allowed to sell it and make money off of it. You're not allowed to feed it to your pets because that will give you pleasure. It's a little bit of a stretch.
What? Can you be around the smell and enjoy the smell?
I smell pig at work. It smells really good, but I'm not doing any of Averos smelling everyone's food.
I think that it's very compelling to consider. Our hands, we sin with our hands. Let me just think of something. It's very interesting. Okay, I never thought, but I think it's just very interesting food for thought. Pun was really unintended, but when it comes to Averos, we rely on our eyes. We rely on our ears, we rely on our speech and mouth, and we rely very much on our hands. Yeah, you thought, Van?
No, agreeing with you. No.
Very interesting. So that's an added ha'ara, which I mamish never thought of until we were talking about Havdalah now. Very nice. Wow, very powerful.
Well,
yeah.
Just one. You have to be, in terms of the sense of smell, I think that you would have to be very careful. If a person, let's say, had a really, really serious problem with compulsive overeating, and let's say that, you know, the smell of chocolate, like, oh, wow, you know, that... It could trigger a binge, you know, something like that.
Eating chocolate, it's not like an aveira. It's not a yarog val yavor. You know, something you have to give up your life rather than do. Okay, maybe it's not so good for you, but like, it's not in the category of arayas, forbidden relationships, which involve your eyes, your speech, your hands.
But it's damaging. But I mean, it is. It's not.
I hear. I understand. But I don't think. I could be wrong. I didn't research this. I never occurred to me. I'm just putting the thought out there as food for thought, that if the nose was not involved in the first sin, it seems to be that the sense of smell has remained to some degree untainted and is not a gateway to sin, as are the other senses, which are clearly a gateway to sin. I think that's very compelling. So now we go back to why after Shabbos, when we feel this extra elevation, Hashem is so in our lives, then after Shabbos, like Nancy said, boom, you feel like, whoa, what just happened here? I have to go back to reality. Do we dafka use besamim? Because we're reviving ourselves through the purest sense, through which, as you mentioned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us. I'm just putting it out there. I think it's very, very interesting. I want to quote a beautiful piece from Rav Salvechik now. Such a beautiful piece. We were at my brother's Shabbos afternoon after Shal Shudah, so after Maariv, after Havdalah. So we said, will he take us home? He said, what's your rush? Why do you want to go home? Let's sit. Let's schmooze. Shabbos over so late. So I told them about Rav Salvechik, as they probably heard me say it again. But we're talking about being sensitive to holiness tonight, right? Not just that every half hour you take a piece of paper. Your whole life has to be, what's the line? Micha, life is therapy. Life is a work on Amunah constantly. Not every half hour you take out a paper and you remind yourself. Did you find anything?
No. I mean, I found something that I can share with you that further talks about everything that we talked about and talks about the Torah, about the whole smell and the neshama, everything that you said.
So it's very interesting. It's an unbelievable point. I never considered. Sazer Salvechik quote. This was related by the Rav in a Tshuva Drasha, September 23rd, 1974. Okay? Tshuva Drasha. He was given in Yiddish. A Jew is sensitive to holiness. A Jew yearns for holiness. Allow me to express it in a Hasidic fashion. A Jew seeks a rabbi. I remember when I lived in Warsaw. It's so powerful. I would stand near the so-called Gerer Kolaka, small train in Polish, the Gerer Kolaka, where one took the train from Warsaw to Ger. I would go there on Erev Shavuos. The Hasidic masses would travel to spend Shavuos with their Rebbe. You would see endless Jews in their festival, in their Yantav clothing. I would see wealthy Jews dressed in beautiful new kapatas, poor Jews dressed in torn old coats. I would see those who carried heavy loads on their back. They rushed breathlessly. They were catching the train in order to get to Ger on time. Whoever has not observed the sight of Jews rushing to be with their Rebbe on Yantav, dressed in their Shabbos finery, cannot understand what Judaism is. If you don't know what it means to yearn for Kedusha, to rush for Kedusha, you don't know what it means to be a Jew. This scene indicated how deeply the Jew longs for sanctity, for Kedusha. When they finally reached the Rebbe, they arrived at a world that was good and beautiful. He was spiritually free. The Jew becomes spiritually free once again. What did we read from Cook? You can be an Eved, but be a Ben Chorin. You can be a slave, but you are spiritually free at the same time. The Jewish yearning for sanctity and spirituality finds the expression in halacha and the concept of Tosefes Shabbos, which is a little bit what we're talking about. What's Tosefes Shabbos? Adding on to Shabbos. And my brother say, what's a rush? Why do you need to go home? We add from the profane onto the holy. Why do we rush into Shabbos? For example, sunset is 6:45. Why do we welcome Shabbos at 6 o'clock? Let's wait till Shabbos actually begins. Why do some Jews retain Shabbos 2 to 3? Keep in mind this translation from Yiddish. They keep Shabbos 2 to 3 hours after nightfall, Motzei Shabbos. His grandson, Rav Moshe Tursky, Hashem Yikom Damo, would hold the latest man. He would walk 45 minutes to catch a late Maariv on the other side of Yerushalayim. Why? Why do they postpone Havdalah until well into the night? Shabbos is over. but they didn't want it to be over. Once again, I returned to my childhood memories. In Warsaw, we lived three houses away from a Magister Shtibel. Generally, I would go to this Magister Shtibel for Shalashiris. They would sing all the zmiras for Shalashiris. Poor Jews. They would be seated around the table in the Shtibel. The Magister Shtibel was located in the poor district of Warsaw. My father couldn't afford to live in a more affluent area. This is where many Jews worked as porters. I saw sights in Warsaw I never saw before. You would see a large closet. He's going talking about during the week. He's switching with Shabbos and during the week. I would see a large closet that seemed to be walking on its own because the Jewish porter who carried it, who carried the furniture, was so bent over from the weight of the closet. He was at a 90-degree angle. It seemed as if the furniture was walking along with feet coming out of the closet. That was the Jew during the week. I knew them well. I spoke with them. They were pious Jews. They sacrificed a lot. I once spoke with one who was frail and short. He carried heavy metal pieces. I don't know where he had the physical strength. He tied around him a thick cord to carry his furniture. On Shabbos, I saw this very Jew. I did not recognize him. He came over to me in his tattered kapata. It was covered with endless patches. And the patches had patches, but his face shone with the joy of Shabbos. I recognized in a tangible fashion a person's Shabbos personality is totally different than his weekday appearance. So one Shabbos, I said to this poor Jew, who during the week is bent over, looks like it's a closet with feet, who has to tie a cord around himself to hold the furniture, who's a 90-degree angle, who's so poor he can't afford a new kapata. But on Shabbos, the Rav didn't recognize him. So one week I said to him, so when will we daven Maariv, the evening prayer to Asher at Shabbos? And he said to me, what's with you? Are you already longing for the weekday? What do you mean, when will we daven Maariv? Are we lacking anything now? When they sang B'nei Hechela, at the end of Shal Shuddis, they were singing about themselves. When they sang Binos Dasha Yar Bitzeini, Kapitel Chav Gimel, chapter 23, he lies me down in green pastures. They knew of no green pastures outside of their shtiba. The Jews knew all this. They could not depart from Shabbos. They lived, quote, they lived the concept of Tosefa Shabbos. So it wasn't just that they added on to Shabbos 2 hours on Monday Shabbos. Their whole life was Tosefa Shabbos, adding more Kedusha into the profane. This is truly the fulfillment of we add from the profane to the holy. They represent a deep exposition and a great experience, the overwhelming longing and yearning of the Jew for sanctity. This is how we should be living our whole lives. It's a very high level. It's a very hard level. It's a very lofty level. Sometimes we forget the level we're supposed to be living on. We become aggravated. We become harried. We think we don't have time. We're stressed out. We have to get to here. We have to get to there. We forget where we're supposed to be. Standing by the corner saying, Hashem, please help me. It should be like that all the time. Not a ha'ara once a day. Not an epiphany. Now I ask God so I remember the name. All the time. That's how we have to be. Tosefa Shabbos should be how we live our lives. So when my brother said, what's the Rosh? And we said, are we going home? So I said, oh, the Rav once said to someone as a boy, when are we going to daven Maariv? And the man said, Maariv, you already need a daven Maariv. What's wrong with Kedusha right now? Questions or comments? I'm going to take water. Yes? No? Maybe?
So that's what we learned about, I don't remember names anymore, but all these little cute little stories about how whatever they would buy during the week, they would say Lekavod Shabbos. These poor, poor people barely had anything, but would save every little. Right. It was just.
Why did you say that?
Not just that story. There were others.
We spoke about that here 2 years ago because it's a Gemara. Remember?
Shabbos. So you know, even when I go shopping, right? My God, you're doing that on Wednesday. I go for Shabbos.
Very nice. But Rashi says that if you find if you find something nice in America, you should set it aside for Shabbos. But we're trying to extrapolate from this idea is not just the Kedusha of Shabbos, but that the Kedusha should be with us throughout the week. We have to find ways to make tangible Kedusha, real Amuna, live with Hashem all the time. Sure, we should have an elevated aspect on Shabbos. Sure, it should be elevated during the Seder Yemei Teshuva, the 10 days of repentance. But it doesn't mean that the whole other 6 days of the week should be like, oh, we forgot about God. And then here we have this elevated level. We should strive to have an elevated level of living with Hashem all the time.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nehiyah bedvaro.
Thank you. Thank you. This is a fundamental rule about the ways of avodah, divine service. Any truth a person wants to internalize and build within himself must not be out of mind for the rest of the day that is, I don't understand the sentence exactly, must not be out of mind for the rest of the day that is not his contemplation time.
Any truth a person wants to internalize and build within himself must not be out of mind for the rest of the day that is not his contemplation time.
I don't know exactly what it means, but
it's not just when you sit and you contemplate it so that you're just thinking about it. It has to be part of your.
So that's what we're saying. I think the punctuation is missing. Okay, I think some punctuation is missing. What did you want to say?
The same thing. I was just going to say that it sounds like it's a buildup of what you've been saying the whole time.
Fine.
As opposed to just being set time, if you want to internalize it, then it can't just be when you're thinking. It has to be always. You always have to be thinking. It always has to be a part of your life.
Always. Let me tell you what it's like. Life is therapy. Do you want some water? Are you thirsty? Let's pick up the water. Listen. Did you hear the water? Let's listen. I'm going to open the bottle.
You have to do it with your mouth covered?
Correct.
Wow.
Now, this is how I talked for 3.5 years. Every single thing I did. Like, I'm not exaggerating. Should we go to the car? Mommy's going to get the keys out of her bag. Do you hear the keys? Here are the keys. Do you want to bake? Let's touch the flour. Touch the flour. It's so soft. Okay, let's go back to water. I'm going to pour the water. Listen. Now we're going to make a bracha. Do you want to drink the water? Literally. For my whole life. For 3.5 years. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, as long as we were both awake. So it's not just during contemplation time. It's not like you do homework. Now I did my homework. Now I remember the Ribbono Shel Olam for half an hour in the morning when I'm davening Shacharis, and then for 10 minutes in the afternoon when I'm davening Mincha, and then if I daven Marv when I make a bracha. The whole day is to be a running stream of conversation between me and the Ribbono Shel Olam, and between me and the Master of the Universe, not just at set contemplation times, even though I think that sentence is missing punctuation, but we all got the point. If it's only during 10 set times, your awareness is too sporadic. Your child will not learn to hear and speak successfully. If you think half hour a day, now you're potter. It's not going to work. The fum tsara tsara agra, according to the effort, is the reward. With everything in life, including avodas Hashem, the more you put in, bali taher misayin oso, so you come to be purified, you will be helped. It was such a, Henny Machus would say, daven for whatever you need. She would tell her children, just daven. When they were davening for an apartment, when they were getting married, enough money to afford the apartment, she would say, don't stop an apartment. Who remembers? What did she say? Daven for a house. Whatever you need, daven, daven. And I was talking to a Rebbetzin Willig, and she told me that her daughter, Avitzin Willig's sister-in-law, is Yocheved Machlis, the oldest Machshon. And she said, Yocheved is exactly like her mother. She just tells her kids, just daven. Whatever you need, daven, daven, daven. The oldest granddaughter wanted a sewing machine, and they couldn't afford a sewing machine. It was very expensive. And her mother said to her, just daven. And then Avitzin Willig told me, some crazy story happened, and somebody gave them a sewing machine. So just on a small level with the corner, really thought of Rabbi Tzemach. She just said, whatever you need to have. I couldn't remember somebody's name, but it's not just set times, the whole day. Otherwise, you can't attain your desired level. We have to always push ourselves. The way to attain levels in the service of Hashem is to keep awakening the desired truth again and again, with brief intervals between the reminders. One must determine the truth he seeks to develop throughout the day, go through the day with that truth, absolute clarity. Okay, this is similar. This is really what we've been saying this evening. This is similar to Rav Chaim Shmulevitz Zatzal used to say about Talmidim, who constantly interrupt their Torah studies. This is a very good mashal. Ready? It's like a man who keeps putting a kettle of water on the fire, but keeps removing it before it comes to a boil. Or you know, you have something in the oven and you keep opening the oven. What happens every time you open the oven? You think it's going to cook faster? The cake's going to fall, the heat's going to leave the oven. You're actually prolonged. You're not going to be making progress. You need to keep the heat inside. Stop taking it off the fire. So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz Zatzal would say, you're trying to boil the water, but you keep taking it off. For a truth to be internalized with perfect clarity, it must be reviewed throughout the day. If not, the water will never boil. Do you remember we had a few months ago, I think it was the Chafetz Chaim, who gave us a very similar mashal. Somebody in the days before modern plumbing would have to go to the well in the backyard or they kept water in the back, remember, yeah? So if you leave it and you don't stir up the water, so by the time you got there, it's going to be inches of ice. You're going to have to hack away to get water. But if you stir up the ice on top every half an hour, every hour, it's never going to become frozen solid. You're always stirring it up. So too, you have to stir up your own amunah. So too, you have to leave the pot on the flame. We're not talking about inner boiling, but rather inner awareness. If a person wants da'as, Das means chachma bina das. Das is a level of wisdom or knowledge. Not just knowledge and understanding, but connection to an idea so it will be alive. But you know, you have to live with this to understand it. Like, I could tell you what it's like to do therapy on a child, to like be the primary therapist. I consider myself as primary therapist. I teach who taught me, and they taught, and I was able to teach him based on what his therapist taught me. But like, you really have to live with it to understand it. Like, I could do a 2-minute demonstration and try to explain to you that's what life is like for 3.5 years. It doesn't really mean anything to you. It's not your fault. I understand. But so how could we attain emunah if we go to a class and we read a book and we listen to a shir? It's not the same as living with it for ourselves, actually internalizing, going through the process. So someone could tell us whatever they want. They could stand in their head till they turn blue. If we don't experience it in a very real fashion, if I don't make that my primary goal in life, that was my primary goal for those 3.5 years. That was my primary goal. As I had a husband, I have a home, I have other children. That was my primary goal. If you don't make this your primary goal, then you could go to a shir a day and listen online on your commute and read articles. But if it's not internalized, if you're not living with it, you can't really understand it. So it has to be an exercise, not just knowledge and understanding. It's not enough to have knowledge. You have to have a real connection so it will be alive within you. That half an hour should not pass without remembering what is my goal. I assure you, in those critical language learning years, a half an hour did not pass without me remembering what my goal is. You could rest assured. Maybe that was why I transitioned from audiology. My degree is in audiology. I have a bachelor's and a master's. And then after I had this experience, I said, well, I'm not going into audiology anymore. Yes. Okay, but you're far away from me, so they're going to help me here.
You said Asher. Well, there's a rabbi, David Asher, who talks about Emuna daily. And it's free, and everyone can sign up. And you can hear it, and you can read
it. It's free. You could actually sign up. And you get this shir every single day.
It's
name
five,
is shir.
5 minutes, not even.
So kol hakavod, we're doing tremendous things. We're doing tremendous things with all the sfarim we have. Yeah, I understand. With the sfarim, the shiurim, and the topic, we're trying to strengthen it. But the point still stands. Someone could still listen to those 5 minutes a day and not internalize the lesser of themselves. I'm not saying that's the goal. I'm not recommending it. But it is possible that if you don't put into practice the things that you hear, knowledge and understanding, if you don't make the connection, it's still not alive.
He tells stories of people who tell him stories of people who have started listening to his shiur and it's changed their lives.
That's called kavod. That's because they want a connection. That means they're internalizing what he's saying.
Their stories, their current
fine, stories, whatever it is. It means they're taking it and living with it. Yes.
I think another suggestion that's very good is to keep a pasuk that you are very comfortable with, like the Shabbat Hashem and then
the pasuk,
or something that you are constantly over saying over and over throughout the day to keep the munah right there.
Very nice. Very, very nice. To try and constantly pick a kapitel of Tehillim, a short kapitel of Tehillim. Some of them are longer, some of them are very brief, that you say over and over throughout the day. So I'll tell you, it's interesting you say it. Besides for the Tehillim that I say every day, the kapitlach that I have, that I say kavua every day, which takes me a number of minutes. But Perek Aleph, I say when I'm walking in somewhere, when I'm leaving somewhere, where I'm entering a class, exiting class, and parak, all of a sudden, then I'm very nice. It's a very, very nice point. Okay, yes, oive. Anything else? We're going to do a little bit more. Okay, I'm going to end with a thought from Biederman, okay? We did like a page and a half, plus a lot of other hours. Yeah, here. That's amazing. Okay. Chaste Hashem. Okay, so...
And Esther, you had something you pulled up about the nose, no?
It's too long. I can share it with everybody. I can send you the link, but it's...
I think it's amazing food for thought about the nose, by the way. I think it's really amazing. It's not a gateway to sin the same way our other senses are going to sin. So I'm just going to end with quoting from Rav Biderman, this past week's parasha of Elimelech Biderman. And we're talking so much tonight about Avodas Hashem. We're always talking about Avodas Hashem. Internalizing it, working on it, striving for it. Quality and not quantity. We must also remember Avodas Hashem, serving God, is measured differently than how humans measure other matters. We tend to measure things by quantity, by number. How much do the apples weigh? It's 99 cents a pound. That's how much I'm going to owe. When we want to measure a person's greatness, we might say, how many pages of Gemara does he know? How many students does he have? How many acts of chesed did he do? How many psukim does he know off by heart? But heaven adds more matters into the equation to determine our worth. Hashem evaluates how much heart is invested into our avodas Hashem. Emotion and effort are from the primary factors that determine the worth of our deeds. Hashem doesn't take into account how many, how much. He also looks at our emotion and effort as the primary factors that determine the worth of our deeds. When one remembers this, he realizes Avodas Hashem is also for him. Even if I don't qualify, I don't know quantity, I don't know verses, I don't know Torah, I don't know Kala Torah, I don't do not enough time to do chesed ad infinitum. But you can do a deed with effort and emotion. And that's the equivalent of many great deeds to others. The Medrash tells us, Vayikra Rabba, King Agrippas HaMelech, wanted to sacrifice 1,000 korbanos all in one day. He told the Kohen Gadol, don't do any other offerings, any other slaughtering offerings on your altar, no other korbanos from anyone else. You do my 1,000 animals today, korbanos. The same day, a poor person came to the Beis HaMikdash carrying two birds. The verses tell us in the beginning of Vayikra, when a person brings birds, you put the plumage on all. And the Rashi says it smells burnt. Talk about smell. This wasn't on purpose. But burning feathers smell. Rashi even says, is there any worse smell than burning feathers? So why do you put the plumage? You want it to stink in the base of Mikdash? So Rashi says, because the poor person can't afford a cow. So how does he feel when this guy's bringing a cow and he's Nebuch bringing a bird? Don't make the bird smaller than it is. Keep the feathers, keep the wings, keep the whole thing on so at least it looks a little bit bigger. You should make him feel important. So this poor person came with two birds. So he asked the Kohen, please sacrifice my birds today. So the Kohen said, sorry, today's not your day. I'm sacrificing 1,000 korbanos offerings from King Agrippas. The pauper burst into tears and he said, you're taking away my parnasa. Hashem helps me every day to catch 4 birds. I give 2 as a korban and 2 I keep as parnasa. If you don't let me sacrifice today, I'm afraid tomorrow Hashem won't give me my 4 birds. The Kohen Gadol felt sorry for him. I sacrificed the birds. King Agrippas had a dream that night. Today you sacrificed 1,000 korbanos, but those 2 birds of that pauper and his tears were brought with more heart than all of your animals. Says Rav Biderman, we learn from the story, a good deed is not only measured by quantity, but how much heart we put in. A person can do less with a complete heart, and it may be worth more than 1,000 times more. The Chafetz Chaim would say to a bachur who had a weak mind and after months and months could only get through 1 page of Gemara, he said, for you, that 1 page is the equivalent of somebody else's 100 pages because of the hardship you undertook. So it's not an easy avoda. We are striving, we are learning, we are working not only to listen and to read and to attend, but to internalize, to learn that life is a mamish therapy of avodas Hashem. And the only way to make it real is to put ourselves into it. No one else can describe it for us. No one else could explain it to us. I could illustrate. I could tell you a parable. You got to put your whole self into it. Keeping in mind that Hashem desires our effort. And the more effort we put in, the greater Be'ezros Hashem is worth. So I wish you all Chodesh Tov. And we should be Zocha, Be'ezros Hashem, not to mourn this Tammuz and Av. And of course, a good Shabbos. Amen.